He is the Lord God Almighty, and He's highly exalted over all the earth. Amen. Amen. Praise Amen. The name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We do give Him praise today as we continue to march on.
Amen.
Soldiers march.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. We're not walking, we're marching.
Amen.
Amen. Soldiers march, and we're continuing to march on. Amen. March on in victory. Amen. We're closing out the year. God has a plan for us. Amen. He said it. Amen. He said, I know the thoughts I think with you. And, amen. New International Version said, I know the plans I have for you. Amen. God has a plan.
Yes,
amen. He's had a plan for us from eternity past. Amen. And He has a plan for us for this year. And He has a plan for us in this church. Amen. And we've been talking about it in the last couple of weeks that, you know, in October He dealt with us with, you know, healing and the need for us to lay hold of that promise for healing for us. Amen. And through the promise that He spoke a few weeks ago, now we're going to shift into talking about prosperity.
Right.
And financial prosperity. Amen. And I praise God for this. Amen. God, maybe you know, see, we can be all spiritual if you want, but you need your help.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you can go around God and go, I'm going to be, you know, somehow you're going to glorify God in your sickness. No. You check the scriptures, and God was glorified every time people got healed.
Right.
Amen. It said they glorified God when Jesus healed people. Amen? Your sickness and my sickness does not bring God glory.
That's right.
Because it doesn't show forth His goodness.
Right.
When He heals you, His goodness is made known. And so we need our help. Amen? I don't know anybody who walks around and said, I don't want to be in hell. I want to be in hell.
That's right.
Amen. So we need that. But here's the other thing, too. We don't need to be spiritual about it. You need money.
Yeah. Amen.
We don't need to be spiritual about that. When I say spiritual, I mean phony spiritual about it. Oh, I'll just get by with what God gives me. You're selfish.
Amen.
Right.
Because when you understand that you are a covenant man or a covenant woman, then you understand that the blessing that's on your life is so that you can go be a blessing to somebody else.
Yeah.
So it's never been about you just having enough for yourself.
Amen. That's right.
But here's the thing, amen. We're going to let people criticize and, you know, talk about, oh, no, no, no. Nobody says about money, but you need money.
Amen.
And God is your Father, and God wants to provide for you, and we need to know that. So we're going to spend the next couple of weeks, amen, just talking about financial prosperity. And how to lay hold of it. The same way we talked about, you know, the gift of healing and how to lay hold of it. These are important elements in our lives. And I tell you right now, across the body of Christ, amen, there are people right now who, many people who are struggling both in their health and in their finances.
Mm-hmm.
And God is a great God. And you can't tell me, amen, that is how He wants it to be. He wants... Jesus said, "What I am come, that you might have life, and that in abundance." Amplified version said, "I am come that you might have and enjoy life in abundance, to the full, till it overflows." That's what God says. David said, "The Lord my shepherd, I shall not want." My cup runneth over. That's the God we serve. So we're going to talk about finances, amen. You know why? Because God wants us, as we're finishing out this year, God wants you to be in health. God wants you to be prospering in your finances. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And then, I can't say where we're going in December yet. But I want you to stay excited. Amen. And we're finishing out this year, amen. Because here's the thing. God wants us to understand something. He needs you healthy.
Amen.
And He needs you having more than enough. He needs us living out His plan for our lives.
Amen.
Otherwise, His will can't get done in the earth.
Right.
Stop thinking of ourselves as just little old me. No, we are agents of God. We are part of His plan.
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to look at this, amen. And I pray that we just let the word speak unto us, amen. All right, let's go on today. We're going to talk this a little bit, but hopefully get some things that will lay a good foundation for us. Let's turn to Psalm 112. Psalm 112. As you turn there, amen, our title for today is God's Plan to Prosper You. Amen. It's funny how plans are all over the place right now. Amen.
Amen.
God's plan to prosper you. Somebody needs to be glad today that God is planning to prosper you.
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Right now, He's actively planning to prosper you. Amen. So we're in Psalm 112. We're going to read the first three verses there. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that fears the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray today. Father, we come to your word right now, God, desiring to hear your voice. Father God, we are primed, oh God, right now to receive everything you have for us. Father God, in the name of Jesus, let us plead the blood of Jesus over our hearts and our minds right now, that they both may be purified, made clean, and ready to receive your most holy word. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we rebuke doubt and fear and unbelief. And Father God, we release our faith right here in this place to hear your word, take you at your word, believe your word, walk in your word, and see your word come to pass in our lives. Father, in the name of Jesus, just ask you now, God, to give us all listening ears. Father, let us hear today what thus saith the Lord. And upon hearing, let us go forward and be doers of the word, and not hearers only, that we truly may be blessed in our being. Father, I thank you now for the deposit and the change that shall be made in us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. God planned to prosper you. Amen. Lord, help us now. We look at the scripture. Amen. Psalm 112. Some of you in your Bible, they may have a heading over it, and if it does, it might say something like the prosperity of the righteous. The prosperity of the righteous. We understand that because we are in Christ Jesus, amen, we have become the righteousness of God.
Mm-hmm.
We have been made righteous through Christ. The Bible says that blessings are on the head of the righteous.
Amen.
See, that's why you got to know you're righteous. You can't go around saying I'm a sinner saved by grace.
Right.
The Bible don't say blessings are on the head of the sinner.
Mm-hmm.
It says blessings are on the head of the righteous.
Mm-hmm.
And we are the righteousness of God, amen, through Christ Jesus. And as the righteousness of God, we have a promise of prosperity for our lives. Amen. And first of all, let's start this way. Understand, you see, the scripture says here that blessed is the man that fears the Lord. As believers in Christ, we fear the Lord. We reverence God, don't we? Amen. We reverence God. And God says that those who reverence Him, those who fear Him, are blessed. Right? And we already are blessed. We're not waiting to be blessed. And I know sometimes we say that, I'm waiting for my blessing. And I understand you're talking about in a particular instance or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But truth be told, know something deeper. You're already blessed.
Yeah.
Because blessed means you're empowered to prosper.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Blessed means you're empowered to prosper. So that means it's already done. Inside of each one of us is the power given unto us by God to prosper.
Yeah.
Amen. And we're empowered to prosper. And what is prosperity anyway? Amen. I saw a definition, and I like this one, and maybe you'd like it too. It said that prosperity is the state of having the resources and ability to accomplish God's will. okay? It's the state of having the resources and ability to accomplish God's will. That's why prosperity isn't just money, mm-hmm. right? Your health is part of your prosperity,
yes.
because it's part of your ability, amen, to accomplish God's will. For you to be healthy and be around and to minister to people and to help people and so on. Being in your right mind is part of the prosperity of God, right? Mm-hmm. So that you can think clearly and speak clearly and all those things. Having great relationships in your home, your marriage, and your family life, that's part of God's prosperity.
Yeah.
So that you're not bogged down with drama and issues and stress, but now you can focus on God and His will and go forward. There are a lot of people who don't do the will of God because they're so bogged down with upset in their family life. But part of the prosperity of God is that you have great relationships. Amen. And so now you're free to do the will of the Lord. But I want you to know as well, part of God's prosperity is you being financially stable as well. Amen. So that you can now go do the will of the Lord. I mean, no, God needs people to have the resources to give unto other people.
That's right.
Amen. And if you and I only have enough for ourselves, then we can't do the will of the Lord. So when we talk prosperity, it's a total life prosperity. But I want to see a lot of times preachers say, so prosperity is not just money. No, it's not. It's not. But we're going to talk about money.
Amen. That's right.
And see, church folks don't like talking about money. That's why you have problems with it. I'm telling you this. Anything you're afraid to talk about has control over you.
Wow.
Amen. And so don't be afraid. Let's not be afraid to talk about money. Amen. Because God talks about money. But He talks about it in a certain way. And we just want to get in line with Him. Amen?
Amen?
All right, so let's look at Psalm 12. 112, I should say. So it says, blessed is the man that fears the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. And you can see part of the blessing and the prosperity on this man. Immediately it goes to his family.
Yeah.
His seed shall be mighty on the earth. It starts talking about his children. His children shall do great things.
Yeah.
I love this scripture. Amen? This is something I remind God of this promise all the time. Lord, you said my seed will be mighty in the earth. And I call it done too. My seed shall be mighty in the earth. I expect my children to do great things. Why? Because it says so right here.
Right.
Amen. Amen. My seed shall be mighty in the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Now look at this next one. Amen. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. Wealth and riches.
Amen.
Wealth and riches. I once looked this up. Patricia was talking about looking up words. I once looked up wealth, and it said the abundance of valuable goods, possessions, resources, and funds. That's what wealth is. Abundance of valuable goods, possessions, resources, and funds. I then looked up riches. I said, what's the difference? And it said riches is an abundance of wealth. So then I said, well, wait a minute, wealth and riches are going to be in my house? And wealth is an abundance of valuable goods and possessions, resources and funds? And riches is an abundance of wealth? That means I'm supposed to have an abundance of an abundance of valuable goods, possessions. Do you hear God speaking?
Yes.
This is how God speaks. So how dare we go around thinking we just need to go to God to help pay our rent?
Oh,
Jesus. He's interested in much more than that.
Amen.
And part of the problem, I believe, is because we think the way we want to think instead of the way God thinks. He says what? My ways are not your ways, neither are my thoughts your thoughts. But here's the thing. He shares His thoughts with us through His Word, and even we need to now get rid of our thoughts and start taking on His thoughts. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. New Living Translation says, be ye transformed by changing the way you think.
Right, right.
We can't think the way we want to think in this natural mind of ours, which is limited. We have to think like God thinks.
Amen.
Amen? That in my house is an abundance of an abundance.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
You just got to say it. Because you're releasing faith as you do, because this is a living word. Amen. But God has a plan to prosper us. He wants in your house that there is an abundance of an abundance. But there's a reason behind it. Now, In Genesis chapter 1, when God created man, it said, after he created man, it says, and he blessed them. Right? And he blessed them. Right? And told them to be fruitful and to multiply. Right? They had dominion and all these things. It has been God's plan from the beginning to bless man. Because after he made him, he blessed him. I always like to look at what God does at first, because since he never changes, that means he's doing the same thing now. Right? And so if he blessed man from the beginning, you got to understand that's his plan. And how much the more for you and I who are now part of the family through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That he wants to bless us. Now, again, we're talking about financial prosperity, but I want to take a little time just to go again to the beginning. And let's look at what God did through Abraham. Because Abraham is the father of the faith. And so I ask you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. And as you do that, I want to remind you of what we have often read, even as children coming up in church. And that's the story of David and Goliath. I just want to remind you of that story, right? And we know that David came upon the scene, and Goliath was there threatening the armies of God, and everyone else was scared, but David looked at old Goliath, and he called him out his name. He never called him Goliath, he never called him a giant, he called him an uncircumcised Philistine, right? And see, circumcision was a symbol of the covenant with God. Amen. And he was saying to Goliath, in effect, you don't have a covenant, and I do. That is so important to understand, that you and I, because we are in God's family, we're covenant people.
Yeah.
We have a covenant with God. And we're turning to Genesis chapter 12 because we want to see what this covenant is about. Amen. And let's look at Genesis chapter 12, when God established the covenant through Abram. At least he spoke it here. He says, verse number 1, now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curses thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. This is God's covenant with Abraham. Later on in Genesis 15, if you remember, when God told Abraham to cut in half a ram and a heifer and a goat and a turtle dove and a pigeon, remember that? And he cut them into, and then the sun went down. And it said that a lamp and a furnace went through those pieces. And we understand that when covenants were cut, usually if you and I cut a covenant, we would cut those animals in half, and then the two of us would walk through together as a way of saying, we're making this covenant. Well, when God told Abram to cut the animals in half, Abram, he put a deep sleep on Abram. And then God himself, as evidenced by the furnace and the lamp, he went through the pieces by himself. What was he saying? This covenant that I'm making with you, Abram, is unconditional. I'm not needing you to do anything. This is my promise to you. Why do we care about that? See, because so many of us are going around trying to get something through our good works that has nothing to do with what you do.
Wow.
It's because you are part of the covenant. Amen. Now somebody said, how am I part of the covenant? Why does what he said to Abram matter to me? Well, remember, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, right, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now the curse of the law includes sickness, it also includes poverty and lack. And Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, curses every man that hangs on the tree. Why? that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. Now, I'm not Hebrew, but the blessing of Abraham is on my life through Christ Jesus. Amen. So the blessing of Abraham is on my life because Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law, being made a curse for me, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon my life. Understand that, right? Get that in your heart and your spirit. The blessing of Abraham is on my life. I think it was a couple of years ago, recently, Donald Lawrence made a song, The Blessing of Abraham. See, you know what I'm saying? There's some people out there making some music. There's some other people out there who are proclaiming the word through music.
That's right.
Amen? And when he was singing that the blessing of Abraham,
that's it.
It's ours. Why? Through Christ Jesus.
Yeah. Amen.
And also remember in Galatians 3 and 29, it says, and if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promises. Now, we read Genesis 12, verses 2 to 3, we see that there are seven promises made here to Abram. Seven is the number of completion. Amen. This is complete promises of God for Abram's life. But let's focus on these. He said, and I will bless thee. And then he said, and thou shalt be a blessing. And then he said, I'm going to bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And then he said, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed through you. So you see that God said to Abraham, a blessing is on your life.
Yes.
But I also want you to be a blessing to other people. Now, how did God bless Abraham? We're just going to take a few minutes to look at something. Let's look at Genesis chapter 13. We're going to go in order and try to do this. Let's look at Genesis chapter 13. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. So we see how God blessed Abram. Amen. See, it wasn't some spiritual thing. Let's not be like just trying to be so pious, right? Abram was blessed with material possessions, cattle, and they had value, right? And he was also blessed with money. Is silver and gold money? Yes. And how was Abram? Did he have enough just to pay his rent or his mortgage? No. What does it say? He was very rich. Very rich. Now, we can try to make this into land, but he was just talking spiritually. No, he wasn't, because right after he said he was very rich, it started naming possessions and money.
Yes.
Can we agree with that?
Yeah.
Let's go to Genesis chapter 24. Because Abram got a little bit older, and he wanted to find a wife for his son Isaac, you remember?
Mm-hmm.
And he sent his servant to go and find Isaac a wife. And when the servant came, I saw Rebecca and went into her brother's house, Laban. Amen. And the servant wanted to tell Laban about his journey and the purpose for his journey. Amen. And if we look at Genesis chapter 4, verse number 33, it says that as he begins to speak to Laban, he said that there was meat set before him to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I have told my errand. And he said, speak on. And he said, I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great. And he has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and donkeys. Amen. God blessed him and gave him stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Gave him goods, gave him money, gave him servants. But he gave it to him because he said, I want the whole earth to be blessed through you, Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And now after Abraham had passed on, if we go to Genesis chapter 26, We find there that there was a famine in the land. And Isaac, Abraham's son, was tempted to go down to Egypt to live, to escape the famine. And God told him, don't go down to Egypt. But in verse 3, he told him, sojourn or stay in this land. And look what he says, and I will be with thee and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries. And I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply the stars of heaven. And I will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge and my commandments, my statutes and my laws. What is he doing? He's reminding Isaac of the covenant he made, God made with Abraham. So Abraham, amen, had the covenant. Isaac was reminded of the covenant, and then he obeyed God. And if we go down to verse number 12, we see that as Isaac stayed in that land, look what it said. It said that Isaac sold in that land and received the same year 100-fold. You know what that means? That means he got back 100 times what he put out.
Wow.
Think about that when you think about the offering you put in the plate this morning. God can give you back 100 times.
Right?
And somebody said, man, he's blessed. He got 100 times more than he got than he put out there. No, because look what it says after that. And the Lord blessed him. Do you see that? That was, see, God increased him and blessed him. Right? And look what it says. And the man waxed great and went forward until he became what? Very great. Why? Because he was spiritual and knew a whole lot of work? No. For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and a great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. So what happens? Amen. We see here, we see Abram, amen, covenants made with Abraham, and God blessed him materially and with money, right? We see that God reminded Isaac of the covenant, and we see Isaac being blessed. Now what do you think we're going to find when we look at Jacob? We're going to see the same thing. Turn to Genesis chapter 28. Isaac has sent Jacob to Laban, amen. This is after he and Esau had the falling out, Jacob and Esau. And Jacob was on his way, and remember, Jacob fell asleep, and Jacob's ladder, right, he saw the angels going up and down at Bethel. And this is in Genesis chapter 28. And if you look at verse 13, it says that the Lord stood above the ladder and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father and the God of Isaac. So look at this. He's again now starting to remind Jacob now of the covenant.
Yeah.
The land where you lie, to thee will I give it, to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places wherever you go, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. So he's now reminding Jacob of the covenant. Amen. And if we go now, last place I want you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 33. Jacob now, after years and years of being away, wants to be reconciled with Esau, his brother. And he sent to Esau flocks and herds and men servants and maid servants as a way of trying to make up with Esau. Amen. And in verse 9, Esau said to him, what are you doing? What are you giving me all this for? He said, I have enough. Keep that you have it to yourself. And Jacob said, nay, I pray thee, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then receive my present at my hand. But therefore I have seen thy face, as though I had seen the face of God, and thou wast pleased with me. Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough. Now, the New Living Translation says, because I have more than enough. So Esau was able to give this great gift. Jacob was able to give this great gift to Esau because he had more than enough. Why are we taking time to go through this? Because it's all part of the covenant that God made with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. I want you to be a blessing to the earth, but I'm also going to bless you. And not one of them was going around trying to figure out how they were going to make their mortgage payment.
That's right.
They had more than enough. But what does that have to do with us? Glad you asked. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. In Deuteronomy 8, God begins to tell the people not to forget me, because you're about to go into the promised land. And in Deuteronomy 8 and 11, he says, don't forget the Lord your God. Make sure you keep my word, my commandments, my judgments. Because if you don't, when you eat in a full, when you build goodly houses and dwell therein. And look what it says in verse 13. And when your herds and flocks multiply. Not if.
Right.
Not if. And when your herds and flocks multiply, and your silver and gold is multiplied. That's your money. And all that you have is multiplied. That's everything else. Then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God. He said, don't let that happen. He said, don't let it happen. When I bring you into your promise, and part of your promise is going to be goodly houses, and you're going to be multiplied, your goods are going to be multiplied, your finances are going to be multiplied, and all you have is multiplied. He said, don't you get lifted up in pride and forget the Lord your God. Jump down to verse 18. But you shall remember the Lord your God. For it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth. Is that what the word says? God says to His people, I give you power to get wealth. You're born again believer, on the inside of you is the power to get wealth. And is given unto you by God. And God is not a wasteful God. God is not a spiteful God. God did not give us something without the full expectation that we would use what He gave us. On the inside of you right now is the power to get wealth. If you believe that, you will never again be concerned and worried and fretting about how you're going to pay your bills. Instead, you'll be taking your time focusing on the power to get wealth that's on the inside of you, and you pray prayers like this. God, I know you give me the power to get wealth. Can you just show me how I should activate this power right now that I can get the wealth that I need to take care of this situation?
Yes.
Come on now.
Praise the Lord.
That's how you be praying. You wouldn't be praying, oh Lord, I need $100. You wouldn't be saying like that. He said, Lord, I know you give me the power to get wealth. I must not be using it correctly. Show me, Holy Ghost, how to use this power in the right way. Now here's the thing, though. We can't stop this. The Lord has given you power to get wealth. And look what it says. There's a purpose. That He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto the fathers. And that's why we took the time to look at the covenant, right? Why? Because we're covenant people. And God has given us the power to get wealth, not so that we can have stuff. Don't mean you can't have stuff, but that's not the purpose for the power. The power to get wealth is so that the covenant that He established with Abraham, the covenant He swore to the fathers, can be fulfilled in your life. You're still supposed to be a... We are supposed to be a blessing to the earth.
Yeah.
Families in this earth are supposed to be blessed by you.
Yeah. Amen.
Right.
See, we have to have that in our mind, because if all we're doing is thinking about, Lord, pay my rent, put some shoes on my feet, put some food on my table. Other families ain't being blessed by that.
That's right.
That's right.
And the reason why some of us are in that situation where all we're doing is just getting our needs met is because we don't understand we're covenant people.
That's right.
Because as a covenant man, I have the blessing of Abraham on my life, which means I'm blessed. I'm empowered to prosper. I've been given the power to get wealth that the covenant God made with Abraham centuries ago can be fulfilled in my life. That I can walk forward in this earth and be a blessing to other people.
That's right.
I have to have more than enough in order to fulfill that.
That's right.
Do you understand?
Amen.
And if we start thinking like that, man, these things that you've been worrying about, you will never be concerned with these things again in your life. Because now you're aligned with God's way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
On Wednesday, in Bible study, I shared with those who were here that my wife and I think we had lunch on Tuesday. And she came to the lunch and she told me, oh, yes, such and such asked me for some money today. And such and such, and then now another such and such part two, somebody else asked me for some money today. That's all she said. She didn't say she gave him anything because she didn't have to, because I know if they asked her, she gave it. Right? And then I'm sitting there and I go, well, God told me today that I need to give such and such something. So here we now come at lunch, right? From that, and there are three people that God had led us to give money to. And let me tell you, we ain't getting the money, but it was some money.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't $10.
Right.
It was some meaningful money. And I didn't want to add it up. The sister and I probably would have shared a sandwich for lunch.
Right.
Why do I bring that up? Because of this. How can we have done anything like that if all we have is enough for ourselves?
Mm. Jesus.
I think I shared this with you before, and we're going to close because we just want to get this into our spirit, so we're not going to stay long here. I do have to share this with you. When we were in Virginia, we lived in Virginia back in late 1990, around 2000, and we were looking to move back north, and we had no money. Right? Credit report was a horror show, right?
Yeah.
And everywhere I would go, at that time when we were struggling, everywhere I go, God was talking about, give somebody some money.
Mm.
The guy in the street, give that guy $5.
Mm-hmm.
Buy that guy lunch. I remember one time I bought lunch for a guy, and by the time I came back out the store, he was gone. So now I had an extra lunch. And then I had to walk around trying to give away that lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember after weeks of this happening, I said to God out loud, I was so frustrated, I said, God, if you want me to give away money, then you got to give me some giveaway money.
Amen.
Well, I'll never forget that. Mm-hmm. And guess what?
Amen.
God has given us giveaway money. There's money that we have that we understand is for one purpose, is to give it away.
Yes.
That's covenant thinking.
Right, right.
Amen. And when you get in line with covenant thinking, you will always have more than enough. You'll be just like Jacob. I have more than enough. But we have to get into this mindset. It's not, listen, if your God is a God that you rely on simply to pay your bills and to meet your needs, your God is too small.
Right.
Amen.
Wow.
Right.
That's not the covenant God of Abraham.
Right. Right.
The covenant God that we serve is the God that said, I'll give you countries. As he said to Isaac. Amen.
Right. Right.
He's the God that said, I want the families of the earth to be blessed through you. And when you start operating like that, I'm telling you, these little things that I'm not trying to minimize financial situation.
Amen.
What I'm trying to do is to magnify the God we serve.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Somebody needs to say to know it. I have the power to get well on the inside of me. And it's been given unto me for a reason. That the covenant that God swore to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob may be confirmed and carried out in my life.
Amen.
That's how we talk about money. Mm-hmm. Amen. So we do it with the way God has intended. The power to get wealth is on the inside of you. Amen. Mm-hmm. So your wealth and your prosperity financially is going to come from the inside out. It's not going to come from your job. Mm.
Amen.
It's not going to come from your education. It ain't going to come from your business or stuff. It's going to come from the inside out. And when you tap into it on the inside, it'll change your outside. What do we need to do here? Let's get into agreement with God. Amos 3:3 says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Mm-hmm. Right? We can't walk with God in this if we don't agree with Him. I agree with Him. Amen.
Amen.
I agree with God. I agree. Amen. I agree that Christ became a curse for me, that the blessing of Abraham can come upon my life. I agree. I agree that since I'm Christ, I'm Abraham's seed, and I'm an heir according to the promise He made to Abraham. I agree with that. Amen.
Amen.
I agree that God has given me the power to get wealth, that He may establish this covenant in the earth. I agree with that.
Amen.
I agree that wealth and riches are supposed to be in my house because I fear the Lord. I agree with that. So that's what I disagree with. I disagree with debt. I disagree with lack. I disagree.
Come on
somebody. I disagree with all that.
Amen.
I disagree with recession.
Amen.
I disagree. I disagree with unemployment.
Amen.
I agree with God. Because that's the only way I can walk with Him. Can two walk together except they be agreed? I want to walk with God.
Amen.
Amen. And God has a plan to prosper. In 3 John 2, the word says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. So how many of you know your mind, your will, and your emotion has to prosper in order for the... Amen? If your mind is not prospering, you know how you prosper your mind? You prosper it on the Word of God. Amen. And you get your will in line with the Word of God and with the will of God.
Amen.
One of the last scriptures I wrote down as I was back there getting ready to come out was Jeremiah 29:11.
Praise the Lord.
But we got to get into agreement with that. Because God spoke that at the time when He was telling His people that they were going to be captured by Babylon. But He said, there's going to be a time you return. He said, yeah, you're going to be captured by Babylon. But He said, but I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord.
Amen.
Right? Those are good and not evil to give you an expected end. But I really do like the New International Version, which says that I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. And it says, plans to prosper you. And not to harm you, to give you a hope in the future. See, we need to understand, God has a plan for me. You know what His plan is? To prosper me.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be flowing.
Amen.
Huh?
That's it.
The promised land that God promised for His people was what? The land flowing with milk and honey. You know what flowing means?
That rains.
I'm supposed to be flowing, but I understand the reason for it. Mm-hmm. It's so that I can live out the covenant that's on Abraham. I'm blessing you to be a blessing. Mm-hmm. Oh, glory to God if we can get a hold of this. I want to pay other people's mortgage. I want to send other people's kids to college.
Amen.
Do you understand?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I want to bless other ministries.
Yes.
That's my desire, because that's part of the covenant on my life.
Yes.
Are you going to pay your bills? My bills?
But see,
that's lower level thinking.
Right. Yeah.
If you're thinking about paying somebody else's mortgage,
right.
You ain't paying nobody else's mortgage until you wasn't paid first.
Right.
You ain't sending somebody else's kid to college and your kid can't go.
Right.
I want to give somebody the down payment on their house.
Amen.
We have to expand our thinking. Why? Because now I'm a blessing to other families in the earth.
Amen.
Why? Because I'm a covenant man. And that's part of the covenant. And God has given me power to get wealth, and He may establish the covenant through me.
Mm-hmm.
And through you. And through you. And through you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He wants to establish the covenant in the earth through His people.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at one last scripture, then we're going to leave out of here. We just got to get this in us as we go forward over the next couple of weeks, amen? So that we don't fall into it. We're going to Luke chapter 12. We don't want to fall for the trap of being afraid to talk about one and think that somehow it's godly and pious and holy or something to be in lack. Again, you know, we talked about in Deuteronomy 28 from verse 15 to, I guess, verse 66 or 68, that those are all the curses of the law, and it talked about all the sicknesses and all those type of things.
Mm-hmm.
But it also talked about the lack and the poverty that would come upon the people through the curse. Amen? And Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of the law, and that includes sickness, disease, but also poverty and lack.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? I'm redeemed from that. Amen?
Yeah.
You're redeeming from it. But we just want to get in line with God and agree with Him. Amen. And first of all, understand, we're covenant people. That means something, y'all. Amen. David was able to take out Goliath because he understood, I got a covenant and you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Covenant thinking is powerful.
Yes, it is.
All of the other people had covenant too. His brothers and Saul, but they weren't covenant minded. So they were scared.
Mm-hmm.
When you're not covenant minded, you're scared.
Jesus.
And the giants can stand up there and just tell you what they're going to do to you, and you run and hide.
Jesus.
Your bills come. You can't pay me. And you get scared.
Wow.
You ever get scared of a bill when it comes? Oh, look, you ever not want to open the envelope?
Oh, gosh.
That's a giant. Amen.
Yeah.
So you're a covenant person. You look at it and you go open it up. Shh, shh, shh. Okay.
Amen.
Covenant people, amen. They have a different mentality.
Yeah.
Amen. We want to get covenant minded. God's given you the power to get wealth. Amen. To establish His covenant with you in the earth. Let's look at Luke chapter 12. And let's look at verse 15. Jesus said to the man that came unto Him and told him to buy the inheritance that my brother and I supposed to have. And Jesus said, who made me judge over you? And in verse 15, he says, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of things which he possesses.
Mm-hmm.
And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years, take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. Now, I just want to say something here, and we're going to close out here. Amen. See, God wants us, He has no problem with us having money and having things, but He wants us to use it for the right reasons.
Yeah.
And that's why we took the time to go through the covenant and the fact that the power to get wealth is given unto us so that we can fulfill the covenant of being a blessing to the earth. And when we get that in our mind, God will pour out into you more than you ever imagined. Because He knows you're going to use it for the right purpose. This man did. Now I want to point out something though before we talk about what this man did. If you look at verse 16, understand something. The man was already rich.
Mm-hmm.
It said the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Who blessed that man's ground? God did. But the man was already rich.
Mm-hmm.
And God still blessed his ground.
Wow.
So that he could have even
more.
You got to get this. This is how God works. God's not trying to keep stuff from us. God wants you to have and have even more.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to know why He wants you to have the more.
That's right.
To fulfill the covenant in your life.
Mm-hmm.
This man didn't get it. Because now that he was rich and God gave him more, look what he started to say. He thought within what? Himself. And look at this. What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul.
Wow. Come on now.
You see how focused he is on himself?
Right.
And God said, you are a fool. I have blessed you, but if you didn't understand the covenant, that what you should do is to be rich toward God.
Jesus.
And how do you be rich toward God? You fulfill the role that you have as being a covenant man.
Amen.
Yes, I blessed you. I made you rich and I blessed your ground to give you even more. And all you did was think about yourself.
Jesus.
I'll buy me a new TV. Mm-hmm. And I'll buy me a car. Mm-hmm. And I'll go on my vacation. See, that's what we're doing today. And then we're wondering why.
Jesus.
The Lord give it.
Amen.
But oh, when we get in line with God and understand that He made me rich and He blessed my ground and give me some more.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, but I know why He gave it to me.
Right.
That He may establish His covenant that He swore unto the fathers. That I can be a blessing to other people.
That's right.
God had no problem. He said, get him some more. Amen.
Right.
Get him some more. And you know what? He'll take his stuff and give it to me.
That's right.
Amen.
Right. The wealth of the wicked laid up for the church. He'll give his stuff to me.
Right.
Amen. Why? Because once he knows that he can trust you with the resources.
Wow.
Amen.
And he'll give them to you in abundance. Amen. So that's why we had to start here. See, the problem I've been with, I'm closing, so that you know I'm going to close. But the problem that we have seen, I think, in the body of Christ is that people have talked about money, and God wants to bless you, and God wants to bless you. But see, if you don't know, understand why God wants you to have the resources,
mm-hmm.
then you're just going to go out there and you're going to buy yourself a new car, you're going to buy something new house, you're going to get some clothes, you're going to go on vacation. And nothing wrong with those things, but that's not the reason why God gave it. I'm saying you can't do those things.
That's right.
But first things first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And God's kingdom, He wants to advance the kingdom of the earth through you. So when He gives you something, please understand, the first thing He wants you to do is be kingdom minded.
Amen.
You're going to pray to fill a spot because all these things are going to be added to you. So look.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, when Martha and I talk, we are coming in to service this morning. I don't know how we got there, but we were talking about people. Oh yeah, I know how we got there, but we were talking about entertainers and athletes who made millions of dollars and who are now broke. And some of the athletes, I told my wife, you know, I saw a show where one of the athletes, you know, said, I was cashing checks for, you know, I just signed a contract for millions of dollars and I didn't even know how to balance a checkbook.
Wow.
Jesus. Mm-hmm.
So no wonder he lost that plane. No financial foundation, no financial principles, not even the rudiments, right? Of even bouncing. See, but that's what we have to be concerned with. Because see, if we don't understand finances from God's perspective, then he can't trust us with it. If all we think is about is just making sure we got our stuff supplied, then God said, you don't get it yet. And so you'll always be scrounging around for the crumbs from the table instead of eating at the table that he prepared for you in the presence of your financial enemies.
Wow.
Amen? But once we get it, God knows he can trust you. There's no limits. He knows now you got it. You want to be someone who goes around being a blessing to other people? In my name?
Go ahead.
I'll give you the kingdom. Amen. That's what the finances are for. And understand that if you're blessed that way, do you think you're able to pay? Do you think you got some money saved away in the bank? See, of course you do. Of course you do. Amen?
Amen.
You have the power to get well from the inside.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Because you're a covenant man. You're a covenant woman. Let's rest on our feet and pray. Thank you, Jesus. Before we pray, amen, I just want to say this to you, amen. God wants us to get into your spirit for a reason.
Amen.
Amen. What? We take it to the house this year.
Yes, we are.
Right? Yeah, there's some good things happening to you so far, but guess what? Right? Amen. You take authority over sickness and illness in your house, right?
Amen.
Over your body, right?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And guess what now? Your money about to stop acting funny.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to be a blessing to people, amen, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do give you praise and we give you thanks today. We thank you, God, that through the Lord Jesus Christ, we are covenant men,
yes.
Covenant women.
Yes.
We have a covenant with Almighty God. The blessing of Abraham is on our lives through Christ Jesus. We have an inheritance with Abraham. And Father, we've seen through your word that you made a covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And you declared unto them that they shall be blessed and be a blessing.
Yes.
That families in the earth, families,
yes,
would be blessed. Father, forgive us for only praying about our family.
Yes.
We've been living beneath our covenant rights as children of God, but no more. Father, as it comes to finances, we understand that wealth and riches are supposed to be in our house. An abundance of an abundance.
Yes.
We understand, God, that our cup is supposed to run over.
Yes.
So that we can be a blessing to those who don't have anything,
yes,
in their cup.
Thank you, God.
Father, we thank you right now that you have given us the power to get wealth.
Yes.
And we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us who will lead us and guide us and teach us how to use that power. That your covenant may be established through us in the earth.
Yes.
Father, we thank you right now as we lift our thinking and get in line with you. That Father God, we will declare like Jacob that we have more than enough. We have more than enough finances to meet our needs. We have more than enough finances to sow seed into other people's lives.
Yes.
More than enough finances,
yes,
to give money to those who are in financial difficulty, oh God, more than enough that those in the earth can see the goodness of God being expressed through the financial power and generosity of your people.
Yes.
Father, we thank you now.
Thank you.
We have the power to get well.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Thank you, God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
And Father God, we shall, under your guidance, utilize that power. That our financial needs may be met, but also, Lord, that we may be a blessing to other families,
yes,
in the earth. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We give you all glory now. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.